Welcome to the NHL Draft Class. I am Adam Kimmelman here, as always, with Mike Morial. And Mike, I have my special Central Scouting hat on. That means it is time to talk about the NHL Scouting Combine. And we have one of our favorite guests to talk about the Combine with coming up.
This is always our favorite time of the year, right, Adam? It's like Christmas for us. The NHL Scouting Combine, we get to meet a lot of these players. This year, there's 90 players. We're not going to be able to talk to all 90, but we're going to talk to a significant amount. There's 58 forwards, 27 D, 5 goalies attending the Combine this year. That is presented by Fanatics, by the way, Adam. David Gregory will join us this week on this episode to discuss the Scouting Combine and some of the players in general. But as in the past, Adam, Central Scouting's again going to provide that app for all the attending prospects to download to their mobile device. It contains all the information they need to navigate the gamut of interviews with NHL teams, the medicals, the fitness testing, and teams can have those one-on-one interviews with the prospects at KeyBank Center, and that'll run from June 2nd to the 6th. And then we always look forward to the bike tests, which will take place during the week. And then on June 7th, Saturday, we'll have a lot of the testing that takes place. And, you know, when you see the players go through the gamut there, it's always a fun process for us, maybe not the players, but it's always fun for us to see how far, how much they're going to push in front of the scouts, in front of the general managers. That's always a fun day for us.
You know why we look forward to the testing, Mike? Because we don't have to go through it.
Yeah,
we get to watch these poor young men get tortured. But you know what? I still think we're going to get you on one of these bikes one year. We're going to do it. I'm going to make sure the guy with the spiked hair is right in your face yelling as they tape your feet to the pedals. You're going to do it. You'll do fine. You'll do fine. I'm sure.
I may yell back at him in Italian. You know, you never know.
That would be tremendous.
It would be.
Because I don't think anyone's ever yelled back.
No.
That would be good.
Or even gave him a stare. Even gave a stare or a look, right? It's never happened before.
Oh, it's the best. We'll have to retweet some of our highlights of the screaming trainer guys.
Absolutely.
But this is the Combine is great. The Combine is, it's in such a perfect location. It's so teed up. And Mike, as you said, the players will know where they're going to meet with the teams, but they're also going to go where they have to go to meet with us. So we will have exclusive interviews with some of the top prospects while we are up in Buffalo. So make sure to stay tuned to NHL Draft Class. Make sure to stay tuned to NHL.com where all of our stories will appear. But right now, let's bring in David Gregory, the Associate Director of NHL Central Scouting, to talk about the Combine. David, thank you so much for taking time out of your very busy schedule to be with us here on NHL Draft Class.
My pleasure, guys. Always love talking to you, so look forward to it all the time.
Great stuff, David. It's always a pleasure to have you on, talk Combine. We talk in general some of the players that are available here. At the top, though, with the Scouting Combine upcoming, June 2nd through the 7th in Buffalo. In your opinion, David, what makes the Scouting Combine so valuable to our NHL member clubs?
Well, it's really grown over the years, as you guys have seen, just by attending as many as you have. But it becomes a great source of information that you just can't get on the ice or while you're watching games. Obviously, I think the most important thing for the teams is the interview process. It allows them, out of the combined invitees, to invite as many of them to their interview with their entire team. And it's oftentimes senior hockey operations people's first opportunity to have a chance to talk to the player, get to know these players. So that's really important. Obviously, the medical process is important. Over the years, we've found some things that have, you know, been important for players' safety and their lives, as a matter of fact. So that's a key piece, but ultimately it's the interviews. But it is fun to watch the testing as well and just see how much room for growth some of these players have. And some of them are already full grown animals ready to hit the ice.
Fun to watch, not to participate in. I think we need to add that. Like, I'm not.
Yeah. That's for sure.
But, you know, speaking of the combine, and Mike and I both go back to when it was at the Bristol Westin in Toronto, you know, on the backside of Pearson Airport. And I still have flashbacks of going up and down that elevator for hours and hours at a time to go, you know, between the floors to meet the teams and to meet the kids. But it's been in Buffalo now for a number of years where we've used, you know, you guys have been able to make full advantage of KeyBank Center, of Harbor Center for the testing. What is it about Buffalo that has made it such an ideal host for the combine?
Well, it's really become an enclosed campus for us. As the popularity of hockey and the combine has grown, there's a lot of people that want to be around the players. It allows us to keep everything contained into basically one place. You can get from the hotel to the testing areas, the interview areas, into the KeyBank Center, all without going outside and staying quote unquote on campus, which is great for the players. We still have some very young men here, not even 18 yet. So it's good that when you have 100 or more of these players in one spot, to have an environment that can keep it controlled. And also it's a great group to work with. The people that run the Marriott Hotel have been fantastic. The Sabres are fantastic. And it allows us to really run a clean, efficient combine. And I think having seen it where, like you said, Adam, going up and down the elevators in a hotel by an airport to what it is now, it's been a tremendous change and great growth and something that the league should be very proud of.
So, Dave, I know this is going to sound crazy to Kimmelman, but I did a little research this week. Yes, I did. Work. No player in this century has ever held a number one ranking on NHL Central Scouting's final list of North American skaters, having played fewer than 20 games in a season. That said, I think it's important that fans, listeners, understand how Central concluded Matthew Schaefer to be number one in the final ranking after only playing 17 games. Can you kind of explain the discussion, how impressed you were with Schaefer's play, and maybe the untapped potential of this player?
Well, we obviously knew him as an underage player and saw great potential then. And then at Canada's camp for the Linka tournament, he really stood out as someone who had progressed significantly, even from the year before. In just a short camp, we noticed that. And he, had a great Linka, great first part of the season with some injury, and obviously a really impressive start to World Junior. But it ended up, that he only played those games. So one of the things that is great about Central Scouting in my mind is that we have all of our scouts, separate in North America and Europe, obviously, cross over as much as possible. Part of the philosophy is to make sure we get our viewings in early and cross over as early as possible. So everybody on the staff saw Matthew Schaefer and saw what he was. And even at our midterm meeting and our final meeting, like, did we really need to see more? Obviously there'll be some concerns, like, and the teams will figure that out medically, is it, but he's been cleared completely and he's not, there's really no lingering issues. So other than that, what are you going to say? If there's not a better player, it's our job to identify the players, and say who we think is best. That's what the teams employ us to do. And if you add up all of Central Scouting's viewings, it's still an impressive number. Because we have that, a staff of eight scouts that cross over and probably saw just about every one of his games. So I think we're confident and having a lot of discussions with other staffs and teams and asking, did they need to see more of Michael Sh or Matthew Schaefer's, excuse me. And it was pretty much consensus. No, they know what they're seeing. And I'm pretty confident he will go number one.
David, it's great to hear that Matthew is cleared and healthy, but sort of in that same vein, how hard was it with Roger McQueen from Brandon and to get him in the proper spot on the final ranking list because of all the time that he missed? 5 months because of the back injury. He didn't finish the Western League playoffs healthy. There's 20 games there spread across the entire breadth of the season. How hard was it to compare him and what he was able to accomplish to Michael Mesa or James Hagans or Jake O'Brien, guys who are centers who project to be high draft picks who played full seasons?
I know it is difficult. I can answer the question with some of the same things I said about Matthew Schaefer, that we did get a lot of views early on with him. So Roger obviously has the talent and the skills, and we've seen that from previous years. We use that strength, but it's we do lose something. Like, one of the things that's really important for me scouting a draft eligible player is to see progression from when they're an underage player and how they progress and grow in their draft year. And someone who, Jake O'Brien's a good example, continued to get better and better and better and climbed up our rankings because of it. For Roger, it's a little unfortunate that he didn't have the number of games where we could make that kind of projection. But what he did have was impressive play when he was on the ice. I happened to see him in his first game back after coming back from the back injury, and you could tell he was ready to go. He wasn't afraid of being physical. He had a very, very effective game. And it's like, okay, this kid's going to be back. And again, unfortunately, something else happens not too long after. But again, it goes back to using our experience. We got a great group of guys who know this game and have experience and have seen this kind of thing. We struggle with the same thing with Morgan Riley way back when, who, could have ended up maybe higher on our list. I think he was fourth or fifth at the end of the day, but we saw very little games with him, but we just knew. And as it turns out, he's had a tremendous NHL career. So I'm confident that our group's ability to use their experience and to say what they've seen on the ice, that we did a good job at where Roger was ranked, and would have loved to have a whole full season to say, yeah, you definitely should be in this spot or that, but we don't always get that luxury.
Will Roger be fully cleared to participate in all the combine activities, the testing, and everything else?
You know that I'm not 100% sure. I don't want to speculate what I don't know. Obviously, he'll go through the medical. I'm guessing we'll find out 100% after that. But I don't know the exact answer right now.
Yeah, McQueen scored 4 goals in that first game, if I remember correctly, David. So yeah, he got off to a real good start. The combine's going to be pretty big for him, no doubt. I obviously teams are going to be interested in his medicals and what's going on, but obviously, all things considered, he is a player that's on every team's radar, no doubt. Right wing Shane Vanzaghi of Michigan State skated in all 37 games as a first year player, the sixth youngest player in college hockey this year. 6 goals, 10 assists, was a plus 10. He's number 33 on Central Scouting's final ranking of North American skaters. Vanzaghi will be attending the combine. I remember sitting in at the meetings, David, and many of you and your colleagues compared his style a little bit to Zach Hyman. And you know what? Who wouldn't love a Zach Hyman in their lineup? So what impressed you about Shane this season?
Well, I thought he had a great year, all things considered. You identified how young he is, and he was stepping into a really skilled lineup that, a lot of times, if you look at history, a freshman like that may not even get in every game, let alone play a role. And I saw him, going back to what I said earlier, saw his game really progress well. He took his role, regardless of the fact that he didn't always get on a power play. He got some power play time at the end. He got more penalty killing time, but he didn't have a ton of ice time all the time because that team was pretty stacked and established. But he did all the things you ask a player to do on in a third and fourth line role. And then when he was needed to step up and play a top six, he was ready to do that. Works his butt off, and as that's part of why I think there's the comparison to Zach Hyman. He's first on pucks behind the goal line, not afraid to be physical, and sacrifices himself to set up a play or make a play. So, that's pretty solid goals and assists for a freshman in the role that he had. And I think we're going to see his role increase dramatically next year and would probably see more point production. But comparing him to Zach Hyman, even Zach didn't have huge points when he was playing in college. And eventually players grow and find a role, and who knows what he'll end up being, but who wouldn't love to have a player like Zach Hyman, a style like that? You know what it takes to win a Stanley Cup. And if you don't have players like that, you're probably not going to get there.
David, I also did some research this week leading up for this show, much like Mike did. So it's been 16 straight years that we've seen a player from the U.S. national team program go in the first round of the draft. There's three skaters in Central Scouting's top 32 of the North American skaters: forwards Will Moore at 29, Jack Murtagh at number 30, and Cole McKinney at number 32. So they're right on the fringe of in your guys' minds, of being first round picks. So my question is, will the streak reach 17 straight years? And will one of those three be the guy to do it? Or could it be somebody else?
That's a good question. I think their performances at the U18 will help their cause, and our list was out before that tournament, and that's that team's Super Bowl. And at the end of the day, they're candidates for the first round. They're players that we think could go in the first round. To answer your question, I don't know for sure. I think it's a year that potentially that it could happen that nobody does, but these are going to be high quality players that if they go late first or early second, At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. What matters is 3 and 4 or 5 years down the line, what they're doing and how they're contributing. And each of those players you mentioned and more players on that team will have NHL careers, I'm sure of that.
Hey David, is there a player you feel we're not talking enough about who could go second or third round, maybe become a productive NHL player down the road?
Well, one player that's really intriguing is Mason West, a high school player out of Minnesota, who's also a very talented football player. He's coming to the combine, and he's told NHL told us and told he'll tell the NHL clubs, is he definitely going to want to be a hockey player? I think if you're coming to the combine, it suggests maybe yes. So hopefully that's the case. But because of his progression, didn't play summer hockey, that kind of thing, because he's playing football. He's played less games than a lot of people, but he's a big, strong skater who moves well. Like he does so many things well, and at 6'5", he's going to be very intriguing. And I think that's a player that will be really valuable if you get him in the second round.
David, I want to go back to the national team program for a second. Colin Potter is a guy that I think has taken a really interesting sort of unique route. Played on the under 17 team, but then graduated high school, left for Arizona State. A bit off the radar, especially for a guy with first round consideration. 13 goals and 22 points in 35 games. Then he had 8 points in 7 games at the World Under 18s. He's number 22 in Central's final rankings. But when you've watched Potter, what have you liked? What stood out about his game?
Well, the first thing you notice is his skating ability. He's an excellent skater who just plays at a really high pace, which you guys know and seen enough NHL that if you can play at pace, it's an asset that translates well, and you absolutely need that. I liked his game all season. He's still needs to put more weight on and get bigger and stronger, but he was playing against men and contributing, and was one of the better, if not best, players on Arizona's team. They ended up getting pretty far in the NCAAs and et cetera. I thought that part of his game was really well recognized. And I think at the end of the year, it got, you're playing against those big players. Sometimes it's a little bit harder to maintain your game, but when he got to the U18s, it showed that that game was still there. When he was playing against his peers, if he had been playing in junior hockey or still with the U18, I think he would have put up some tremendous numbers that would project was more along what you're seeing at the U18. So I think he has great skating ability, an ability to be a point producer, and good hockey sense that will take him to the next level. So I think he's a clear candidate for the first round, and that U18 will help his cause for sure.
One other player I'm curious about is Christian Epperson, the left wing from Saginaw. He played on the line with Michael Misa and maybe got overlooked a bit because of that, but he did have 80 points in 58 games, and he's number 47 on the final rankings. When you look at his game, just sort of isolated just on him, what stood out?
I love his compete level, love his hockey sense. He's play without the puck was really, really good. But I think what it showed is like he had a different role with the U18 the year before, didn't get picked, but now got put in a role to show what all of his skills are. And it, takes a lot of ability to play with a skilled player like Michael Misa. If he wasn't producing or doing good things on that line, he would not have stayed on that line. And the two of them work so well together. So I think what he did, he showed I have more to my game than teams might have seen in previous seasons. And now he's got a chance, I think, to definitely get drafted. And teams had to taken him in the later rounds last year would have been very, very happy this year, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I think he recently committed to the University of Denver, so he'll be playing with David Carl. I think it was May 18th, a couple weeks ago, that he did make that commitment. So good for
Yes.
everything. It's going to be interesting to see how he does there. I think it's a good spot for him to land, and we'll see where he goes in the draft for sure. So kind of to wrap it up here, David. You know, we'd be remiss if we didn't ask you for some of your favorite memories of NHL Central Scouting in this its 50th anniversary season. You've been associated with Central since 2002, I believe, and even experienced being at the Bureau alongside your dad, Jim Gregory, for many years. What magic moments are most ingrained in your mind?
Wow, there's a lot of them. I don't know how long a podcast you guys have, but certainly you mentioned my dad. I loved it when we'd be partway through our meeting and he would come and sit down and say hello to everybody. But then some of the wisdom that he had and his ability to know the game was always helping us in those meetings. I certainly miss those times for sure. You showing that picture earlier just reminds me of that. So, but to pick out one or two things is tough. Like I think it really boils down to the people and the great scouts that have gone through Central Scouting. Sometimes you're in the middle of a season, you're grinding it out, you go to the meetings and you think you're going to see these guys all the time, and then somebody says, hey, I'm retiring, or I got another job, and off they go. And so I think the most memorable stuff is being at those meetings, having the good banter back and forth, but the respect that we have for each other, and the great men that have been at the con at the bureau, are probably my best memories, and we'll cherish it forever for sure.
Hey David, real quick, what was it like being between Jack Barzee and Gary Eggleston and the fight that they used to have? Give the fans, some idea what that was like.
Well, the first couple of years I was there, I wasn't in between them. And then when EJ took over for Frank Bonello, he called me over at the midterm meeting before we started. He goes, I'm putting you between Barzee and Eggleston, and you know the reason. But it was actually an honor because I love those two men. We lost Gary, unfortunately, but it was certainly Felix Unger and Oscar Madison. They had different approaches for sure, and I had one in one ear and one in the other. And when they had a complaint, I heard it from both sides, but they also respected and loved each other very much. So, but it was very fun, and a little bit early on when in my experience, the banter and the arguments were a little bit more ruckus than we see today, Mike.
I did see some of those meetings early on, and those were two fun guys. Should have come with earplugs, hopefully.
Yeah. When Jack Barzee got up, you knew you needed your earplugs or you were going to be there for a few minutes.
Oh yeah. Well, David, we could do this all day telling great Central Scouting stories, but thank you so much for joining us today in NHL Draft Class.
My pleasure, guys. You could do a great job and really appreciate how you represent us every year. So thanks very much, and we'll see you in a few days.
Some great stuff there, as always, from David Gregory. Adam, one of the things that was going through my mind as David was this, talking about and giving us his evaluation of Matthew Schaefer, was the fact that there's a new general manager over in with the New York Islanders right now, right? Matthew Darche replaced Lou Lamoriello on May 23rd. So, Darche has a history of as an assistant GM of the Lightning for 3 seasons, and he's won a Stanley Cup with them in 20 and 21. He knows how to build champions and winners, but let's face it, I mean, there's a bumper sticker going around Long Island right now that reads, "Hagen's come home." So are we in a situation here where Islander fans may want the Long Island native to be a part of the organization ahead of what or who many project to be the best player of this draft, Matthew Schaefer. Now, if I'm GM of the Islanders, to me, it's kind of a no-brainer. I think you're going with the D guy that your organization needs in the pipeline, a guy that could play alongside as a left-handed shot, play alongside a Noah Dobson down the road. And a player who, when we've seen him play, Adam, has been exceptional, no doubt.
Look, I think it's as simple as this. Do you want to win or do you want to tap into some kind of nostalgia or whatever? If you want to win, you take the best player available. The best player available is Matthew Schaefer. There's no question. You heard David talk about it. He played 17 games. And as he said, what more did we need to see from this kid to know he is the best player available? Right? Like, yes, it would be wonderful if James Hagen's Long Island boy comes home. He gets to play for his hometown team, the New York Islanders, but I don't think this is the time for it to happen. As much as the fans might want it, I think the fans want to win. The fans want the best player available. The best player available is Matthew Schaefer. Like, and you mentioned Darche's background in Tampa, who was the one of the most pivotal, if not the most important skater for the Tampa Bay Lightning. It was Victor Hedman. Right? Like, I'm not saying Matthew Schaefer is Victor Hedman, but he knows that you have to build from the defense out. you know, they have the goalie right in Sorokin, so they're kind of set there for the you know, immediate future. So now you start bringing it forward. Matthew Schaefer is the guy you can build around. I don't know if he's in your lineup next season, but for sure he is the building block that they're going to, as they kind of push back for the playoffs, he is the building block that they can use as their foundation.
And one of the most marketable players of this draft as well. I spoke to Erie general manager David Brown, you know, and he was telling me all sorts of stories about Schaefer when they drafted him number one a couple years ago in the OHL priority selection draft. How great an ambassador of the game he is. All the setbacks and adversity that Matthew Schaefer has faced the past 2 years, right, Adam? We know the story: his mother passing from breast cancer, his losing his billet mom 3 months earlier, and then the injuries that he's had to deal with this season. He's gotten through it, and you know, not only is he a great player on the ice, but everyone that I've spoken to in doing research for a feature that I'll have coming out next month. This is a kid that gets it off the ice as well. He's going to be a fan favorite. There is no question about it. So, whichever team does draft Matthew Schaefer is getting a diamond, a real good diamond in the rough here, a blue chip player that's going to be part of your franchise, becoming a franchise player for many years. The other thing I wanted to talk about, Adam, and you know, you touched a little bit at there with your questioning with David, with Potter. And the college kids, I think there are six college kids going to the combine. You know, you have Hagans, you have Hensler, Sasha Bohmidian from BU, Potter, William Harkoff, and then VanSagi, who we also discussed. So I think there's a good representation of college hockey here as well, which is kind of interesting. And going back to Hagans, and then you have the Hagans Michael Mesa debate. You know, maybe there's going to be a lot of questioning there from NHL GMs when they get both of these players in the rooms, trying to figure out maybe which one maybe has that, maybe try to figure out who has what over the other, and trying to make a final decision, which is what you expect from the questioning part of things. But I like the fact that there's a, you know, a good representation of college hockey here, and James Hagans is leading the group.
I want to go back to something you said about Matthew Schaefer, and we've been doing this now for 6, 7, 8 years. Go back to, I want you, if you're a fan of our show, I want you to go back to November and listen to this show that we did from the USA CHL Top Prospects Challenge when we had Matthew Schaefer and Malcolm Spence together. I don't know if we, as the hosts, have had more fun doing a podcast, talking to players, than we did with those two guys. They are very close friends, and that's what makes it fun, and they, you know, took the you know what out of each other, which is fantastic. But you could really get a look at the personality. Like, you can watch video and YouTube all the highlights you want of Matthew Schaefer, right? But just to go back and listen to that podcast and how personable and smart and funny he is, like, to your point, you can mark it off to hockey ability. And there is a ton of that with Matthew Schaefer. But that personality, I mean, he is going to light up Long Island in a way that they have not had a player light up that area in a very, very long time. Just he's so much fun. The smile, the sense of humor, the personality. Islanders fans, yes. Do they want the hometown boy? Is it a great story? James Hagans, sure. They are going to love everything about Matthew Schaefer when he becomes a full-time NHL player.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. You know, Matthew Schaefer, to us, what we think is going to be number one in this draft. From that point on, it's going to be somewhat of a little bit of roll the dice and see what we come up with. Maybe it's that player that best fits the organization. I think it's fair to say that, Adam. I mean, you know, you always want to go best available, but there are some, you know, real talented centers and forwards next in line, right? When you consider even Jake O'Brien, James Hagans, Michael Mesa, Porter Martone. Remember Porter Martone earlier this season, Adam? There was a lot of consideration of him being maybe a top three pick in this draft. And who's to say the Chicago Blackhawks don't maybe would like a Porter Martone to be skating alongside a Connor Bedard sometime in the future. There's a new coach there, right? And Jeff Blashill. So maybe that's what Blash will be looking for, is having that big-bodied winger to play alongside his star player. So a lot of things to take into consideration. But look, with the NHL Scouting Combine this week, it's something we always look forward to. We always look forward to asking the players about the crazy questions that are being asked of them. I still remember to this day, Jake Oettinger, when he was with BU, what personality trait he felt he possessed that would prevent him from playing in the NHL. And I remember him telling me, he's like, I think I have all the tools and the work ethic necessary to potentially be a number one in the NHL one day. And good for Jake to say that, because obviously he
There
has
he is.
this game. Yeah.
We've been able to watch him in the Western Conference Final now 3 straight years, so he obviously did have what it takes. But the Combine is a wonderful piece of the puzzle that will lead towards the NHL Draft June 27th and 28th in Los Angeles. But we are packing up and heading up for the Combine, so stay tuned to NHL Draft Class. Stay tuned to NHL.com, NHL.com/draft. You'll find all of our stories. But for now, NHL Draft Class is dismissed.